Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95BFM.
Rita Steele.
Hello.
What's up, y'all?
I'm in the Waitakere's, where it's very, very, very wet.
That's good.
Hey.
It's great. It's like a tropical rainforest feel out here.
Rita, I feel like I haven't spoken to you in a while, but the last time we did a... Actually, it might have been a couple back now. We had your friend call up and we did a Sustaining Alive, and he sounded pretty morbid about the future of the world and how things are going. Have you managed to catch up with that guy and just give him a pat on the back or something?
Yeah, he actually lives a wonderful life. In fact, some of the things I do have realised in the world of the environment is the people that are probably the most down on our outcome or our outlook
are the ones that have looked into it the most?
Yeah, but they're also just living, they're actually living great lives, because they've gone, well, you know what, like, I'm just going to go and do what works for me in my life and not worry about, you know, what looks successful and whatnot. And he runs a fantastic, or is very much so involved in a fantastic nursery on a lovely island, and his pictures are always of dolphins and orcas, and he's loving life, you know.
Okay.
And I know a few of those people that have just gone, well, to hell with this. I'm going to go live on a farm, enjoy the time I've got with my kids and my family, and grow our own vegetables, and switch off, you know, the issues of the world. And they might talk about the issues of the world and sound really grim about them, but actually, you know, it's like the nihilistic friend that you have. And you know, maybe that gives them some sort of freedom to just go, well, fuck it, if nothing matters, then everything matters, you know?
I was trying to sort of skew the conversation into, okay, what type of bomb shelter should we build? What should I be? Should I be buying toilet paper?
Yeah. Well, Kevin has a really good podcast as well, but it isn't for the faint-hearted.
Because, yeah, no doubt.
He doesn't have a lot of. There's not a lot of good news stories there. It's sort of like, you know, there is all these triggers, and it's too late. We've already triggered them, and
right.
We're not. I'm slightly more optimistic.
Well, where are you taking us today?
Some of us environmentalists. What was that?
Whereabouts are you taking us today then? Anywhere up
there?
Any good news
on
the government?
That note, yeah, the US and what does it mean for New Zealand and the world, really, and the environment. So for those of you that have been in the cave, surely everyone is aware that the US election is, I think, not tomorrow, the next day, officially, but I was listening today that 90 million votes are in already, and that's got to be a good chunk of the voting population. So, fingers crossed, that means there hasn't been too much voter suppression, but let's watch this space. But, you know, the election in the US, you know, was something that we watched and marvelled at when I was younger, and I remember, I think it was Clinton, and whatever he was getting up to and whatnot. But now it seems to be so much more real, because there's some really big changes that have been happening in the last few years since Trump was elected that have some major implications for the globe. So I thought I'd talk about some of those.
Okay.
And what would happen if he doesn't win or doesn't. So Trump, in his time, I mean, it's no surprise that he's not a big fan of the environment. So, and this election is a really interesting one, because I think basically the opposition has been able to campaign on kind of anything but Trump. Like, their policies have been built on the opposite of what Trump is doing.
So it's not hard, is it? He's so polarizing. So they can actually just take the sensible other route and run with it, really. You know?
Totally. So it's probably been a really easy one for them. So when I was kind of looking at, okay, what does Trump stand for and what does Biden stand for? Very much so, it was kind of like, well, Biden's standing for what Trump's not standing for, you know. So it ended up being that I've looked into a lot of what Trump is doing. So basically, he's overseen the most environmental regulated rollbacks since the EPA was formed in the 1970s.
Jesus.
So he's gone, you know, all that shit, you know, that clean air.
Yeah, but America, not at the expense of America.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So, I mean, we all know he's disregarded the science about the risks of climate change. But I'm going to kind of let that one slide, because I feel like a lot of people have, you know, like there was a point in time where even the National Party was going, well, is it real? You know, like, I think it's politically a hot potato because it's something that's going to happen to future generations. We don't need to worry about it in our 3-year term or 4-year term in America. So I think I'll let that one slide, even though it's a pretty big one, and dissolving an advisory board is quite a big thing. It's not like, okay, you can give us advice. Okay, you've got 42 recommendations. We'll take one of those things. It's like, no, you guys can go yourselves and just be dissolved, you know. So that, you know, he didn't just ignore their advice. He fired them all, basically. And then, of course, withdrew from the Paris Agreement. So that was a big finger to the world. Like,
that was a big one.
It was a big one. And he also dismantled the Clean Power plan, which was kind of a little bit odd because solar and wind, like renewable resources, are getting a lot cheaper. So they're actually pretty cost-effective replacement for a lot of the coal power plants in America. And it does mean closing down one industry and another one popping up. So there is probably a little bit of a nasty phase for jobs, but there's so many jobs in a new industry that cross over that it probably wouldn't have been too much of an impact. So, and this also was a big cost. $30 billion in health damages a year. So, you know, like, that kind of would have been a pretty easy one to sell into the American people, I would have thought. The other one that's also really odd is that he's refusing to sign this thing called the American Innovation and Manufacturing Act, AIM, it's called, which basically would see the US join almost every other nation on the planet. It's like 197 nations have signed this agreement, which phases out hydrofluorocarbons. So they are also known as super pollutants. So hydrofluorocarbons, this is in a really similar vein to the CFC. So, chlorofluorocarbons. So when we had the ozone layer, it's a very similar agreement where they've gone, you know, there is these very few elements that are so nasty that it's really easy to just phase them out. And they're in cooling systems, so they're in refrigerators mainly. And it creates a lot of jobs because you've got to, like, make different, you know, different fridges, basically. So it's a really odd one to decide to cull. And just to understand why they're called super pollutants, one ton of these creates the same heat as 15,000 tons of carbon. So there's 15,000 times more heating in the atmosphere. So it was a really interesting one not to sign. It's almost like he just didn't want to sign it because, I don't know, he got out of bed the wrong way or he's got shares in these. I don't know. It's a really odd one because the companies that build, you know, the committees, what are they called? You know, the groups that get together, I should have written down the name, that are all the manufacturers of all the refrigerators, even they wanted him to sign it. So it's like, it was a really odd thing not to sign. And of course, Biden saying absolutely he will, because this is 30,000 new jobs for the next year. So he's like, yeah, let's sign this. He's also rolled back rules limiting leaking of methane pollution. So when you've got like an oil reserve or whatever, or fracking or whatever, and they burn off, you see those flames burning off methane every now and then. So most countries monitor those, most civilized countries monitor those, and of course the companies try and, you know, restrict how much gets out because it's basically just a waste of product, basically, and it's really bad for the atmosphere. And he has said that he's not going to require monitoring, and even BP, Exxon and Shell disagreed with that. So when you've got BP, Exxon and Shell all wanting to do more for the environment than the current president of America, you start getting a little worried.
Now, right, Biden, is Biden any better than Trump?
How radical can Biden be, really? Because he's got to line, right, of like kind of, you know, appearing to be some kind of improvement, but also, you know, trying to get some Trump voters at the same time. So,
I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting one because as I was going through these, I was like, man, that, you know, some of those are pretty shocking. I'm going to do one last one because this is a shocker. He wants to oil drill in national parks. But then as I was going through them, I was like, actually, some of these things we do in New Zealand. There was another one, seismic testing, which creates confusion for whales and dolphins. Now, we've got 50% of the world's whales and dolphins in our water, and we do that. So I'm kind of going, okay, some of this stuff is pretty tragic. And then some of it actually is just kind of what other countries are doing. So there is a little bit of... there is a little bit of hype over some of it, you know, but some of it is pretty tragic. Mm. And then so Biden's running on like the opposite of that almost. It's called the New Green Deal, and I suppose the very first thing it does is actually listens to the science, which is quite important. And it is actually quite ambitious. And I guess the most important thing is that they're acknowledging that there is a link between environment and the economy, because there's few political people that will stand up and actually really say these two are intrinsically linked. We cannot separate them, because that's kind of like backing yourself into a corner, you know?
Right.
So I think that the fact that they're acknowledging that is a really big deal. They want to go 100% clean energy and net zero emissions no later than 2050. So that's our goal as well. So that's kind of cool, you know. We would start seeing a big superpower aiming for something, you know, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how achievable this stuff is, to be honest with you, but it's really awesome.
It's also... There's also the case of, like, oh, mate, China... Is China doing this as well? Or is... Part of it is, like, America not wanting to lose to China half the time. And so if they feel like they're, like, giving up some of their oil, they're losing to China somehow. It's so rank and schoolyard and boring.
Yeah. And, you know, in that... I mean, I wonder if that's why America has been slightly more... open to that Russia kind of relationship, because Russia are pretty closed doors about this kind of stuff. Like, we don't really know how much they're polluting. And I mean, we don't really know with China either, but at least they are reporting it to a world committee, even if it's maybe not always completely right. They are trying. And actually, I think there's something to be said for China has got a really long-term... This is very generic, but they do have a very long-term view of things, and they look at things in a 100-year time span. So you are seeing some really awesome innovation out of China. There is some really awful standards, absolutely, but there's some stuff that they're doing, and that is well ahead of the Western world. Their work on in the space of solar is amazing. And
well, obviously their recycling's good. I mean, everybody's used to seeing their crap there, so they've got that sussed somehow, don't they?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure how often they look after that or whether they just dump it. It's so hard with it, countries that don't have transparency, right?
Like,
But I mean, they are building whole new cities that are 100% net carbon emissions, zero carbon emissions. So they are going, okay, we do need to do some stuff in this area. Unfortunately, what they do in the process is we will just wipe out these indigenous people in order to put this new city in place. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There's that stuff that goes on. But actually, you know, their goals and their ambition is to actually... Because they know that if you don't have something sustainable, you won't be around in 1,000 years. Like, they're on to that, you know?
Does the world need, like, a massive solar flare to kill everything? Like... electronic. And then we just go back.
Wow.
And then we go back to cup and string. You know, if I want to chat to John and he's a couple of rooms away, we just tauten up the string and I just chuck the cup to my ear. And
well, I just think that's
go to
really
the library
awesome.
To get my knowledge, yeah. Read a book. Hashtag library.
That's just a really awesome premise for a book. Go and write that. It'd be really interesting. I don't know how on earth we would.
Oh, I didn't know.
Is there a movie? Is there a movie?
About a cup and a string phone. No,
not
it's just
about,
like a kid thing that we used to do.
All of our communication being taken.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like, yeah,
okay.
It happened in, like, Armageddon or some shit like that.
Oh, right. It's always part of something, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's not. It comes in the threes in movies.
So, Rita, there's no hope for the environment with Trump in power. Biden looking a little bit better. Have you got any insight on how the election's going to pan out?
Oh, God. Who knows? Like, I'm the same as everyone, right? Their polling is suggesting I wonder what the TAB odds are. Like, they're probably more correct than what I'm saying. I think that what I heard this morning was that the polling is like in the swing states 3% above for Biden, and in the non-swing states like 9%.
Oh my God, we're not all scientists. I don't know what that means. Political correspondent Rita Steele.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? What? I have no idea. I think they said that Hillary was going to win last time, and like the polls were pointing to that, and it didn't happen. So
turns out.
All right, so collectively, we just need.
Whereabouts did that guy that we spoke to live? So we can all go to his house. Has he got a bunker there, Rakhino Island?
I don't know.
I would just go live on Titty Titty Mouth Thingy with all the birds.
He lives on an island. It's very smart, actually. Whenever I talk to him about...
Well, we're on an island,
you know,
too.
Oh, God. I mean... Well, we are. We are on an island. But I feel like, you know, there's probably... I'm in the Waitakere. There's a lot of people with guns out here. I'd be completely screwed in Armageddon. I don't have a gun.
Rita, I feel like we should probably wrap it up on gun talk and
absolutely.
That's very American, though. Very American.
I think everyone's watching this space for what happens this week in America. Mm. And let's just hope for the environment's sake that
it's back on the agenda. I feel like coronavirus has weaned off a bit and the environment's coming back, maybe.
Mm. We'll see.
Okay.
Right, guys, you have a good week.
Thanks, mate.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.